hell comes the Tagcast with our resident warlock, the summoner of demons, and also Optimus and Fen. Welcome. Whoa.
Who was that guy? You know who that guy was, Fen?
Jeez. I mean, I'm going to have some nightmares tonight.
He came with me.
Oh, dang.
Oh, that explains it.
Summoning demons over there, warlock?
Yeah, just for show introductions, usually.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Well, hey, I'm Fenrir765, and as you already heard, Hop, I don't know what the hell that was, but it came from hell. And we have Warlock, as he said he brought the demon out of Hop. So how's everybody doing this evening?
I am fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. You know, just doing some house hunting today and paint and trim, as I shared earlier in general. Hate painting trim. It's the worst.
Oh, that's what all the paint discussion was about.
Yeah, I started that.
You started that. I was like, why the fuck are we talking about paint? That's not fun.
You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
No, but, right, exactly. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we just went and looked at a house earlier, and, you know, house hunting is an emotional roller coaster. You get really excited about going to see a place. Like, it's in the neighborhood you want. It's everything. Like, you think the price is just right, and you get there, and you're like, yeah, I'm not feeling it anymore. And then you walk out all sad and depressed, and you don't really know what you want to do. So we're going to sleep on it tonight and see what happens tomorrow, see how we feel. But it may be a hard pass. We'll see.
Right. Been there.
Yep.
But I'm excited to talk to you guys about some game. We have a lot of cool stuff to talk about. We got some crazy news today. I mean, we finally saw some stuff from Sony's camp. Fen, you want to roll some of that stuff on by so Warlock and I can shoot it up with machine gun? I mean, talk about it.
Well, last Thursday, Sony finally had their PlayStation 5 event. It was it's called the Future of Gaming, and boy, are they leaning into that Future of Gaming shtick, because not only did we get to see a bunch of different exclusives, some timed exclusives, some legit first-party exclusives that you only see on PlayStation, we got a chance to see what the actual device looks like. And if you're a fan of if you're a fan of tower fans in your office, or if you're fans of routers with binders wrapped around them, you will you will really enjoy the PlayStation 5 look.
Somebody posted a fan, like one of those vertical
tower fans, yeah.
Fans in one of the chat rooms in our Discord, and I thought they were joking, and then I went and watched the Digital Foundry thing, and I was like, holy shit, that is what it really looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my favorite one is the PS2 with the white 3-ring binder around it.
Nice.
Yeah, and I meant to look for it earlier. I saw an article where basically the internet, it was an article talking about all the internet stories about the PS5, and they're pretty hilarious.
I will say, like, even though it looks pretty ridiculous, like, there's something about it that kind of makes me go, that's kind of cool. Like,
maybe it's striking. It's striking, that's for sure. It's got its own look.
Maybe it's because it's so different and so unique in terms of what consoles have typically looked like. Maybe that's why I'm kind of intrigued by it. But at the end of the day, I prefer kind of a clean, just, I'm not going to lie, the Series X has grown on me. The box refrigerator look, you know,
yeah,
I'm
fine with it. I'm honestly not really too excited about how either of them looks. What I appreciated at least about the Series X reveal is they showed us why it looked like that, with the construction being all about keeping that thing cool. The way they designed that whole cooling system, that's the reason why it has that shape.
Yeah.
That totally, from a person that is very logical, made a lot of sense to me. I feel like Sony's doing a little of both. I think there's probably a lot of cooling reasons around that design, as you can tell by all the vents, but I also think they wanted to give it a striking design for an emotional response.
Oh, yeah. The CEO came out and he said, like, we want it to look modern. We want it to look different, and we want it to be the future of gaming. So, I mean, they're leaning into the future of gaming pretty hard. I mean, not only did they announce what the device looks like, but they also talked about two different models. They have the PlayStation 5 and the PlayStation 5 all digital without the disc drive. So there's no details on either of those models
or price.
Yeah. So, you know, we're in a bit of a game of chicken with the price for the PS5 and the Series X.
Right. And we've got Microsoft's event next month where they're going to, pardon me, show Halo. Yep. And again, I don't think we're gonna hear price till, if the consoles are supposed to release in November, I don't think we're gonna hear a price till August, September.
I think we'll get a price in July. I think we'll get the price. Really? Out of Microsoft? I think they will do it first. I don't think they want to be first, but I think they'll do it first.
So some places are speculating this PlayStation 5 is $700 US.
I saw that. Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. I'm not going to blow smoke up anybody's ass. I'm probably not going to buy one. There's no reason. I'm invested in the Xbox ecosystem, and although the PlayStation 5 games look awesome, I have limited time on my hands. I barely have enough time to play the one console I have. I probably won't get one, but if it's $700, I can tell you for sure I'm definitely not getting one. And I think that's kind of a high price point right now, considering the state of the current worldwide, not just U.S. economy.
Well, I think that it's pretty unique in the sense that we're looking at such a, I don't know, like I posted a graph at some time ago about like the jump of
the
teraflops and stuff like that. And it was a unique thing that like, and in something about like, you know, when you go from like megaflops to gigaflops to teraflops, like you're looking at not just like double, triple and things like that, but you're looking at like quadruple in some ways. But you know, the jump in power is pretty significant from the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One base models, because there's enough people out there that are still playing on those base models that I think it's a relevant conversation to be said. But the unique thing is, yeah, price is going to be huge. Everybody has their dollar amount that they're going to go, nope, too much. And
right.
There's a line that we all have drawn in the sand with that. Hop, you and I were talking, like, for you to make a jump at your dollar amount may be lower than my dollar amount, like your max, because you have the Series X and you're fine. Like, you don't necessarily
jump. For going next generation. Yeah, we were playing that night. Right, yeah. Because I have the 1X, if the Series X is more than 500, I will probably wait. I can wait. I'll be okay, I think. I can wait another year for that to go down. Between it not being, it's not a huge leap. I mean, it is and it isn't, but I'm actually pretty happy with the way my games look right now. I can easily ride out another year.
I'm on the Xbox One S.
Yeah, you need an upgrade.
And even though, like, there is a dollar point for me that would say, oh, that's too much still, but I think it's a unique scenario we're in. Now, the reason why I think Microsoft will announce the price first in July is because I think Microsoft has two things that they can do. The first thing is they can make the announcement first and they can come in with a crazy low price, considering they can take a loss better than Sony could take a loss on the console itself. But so they can do that. Or they can wait for Sony to make an announcement on their price and then still undercut them. But I think Microsoft may just like come out and just like unzip their pants and say, hey, this is what I got. Sony, it's up to you. Because, I mean, they know what Sony's going to have to... Microsoft knows what Sony's price structure is going to have to be. Like, because it's got to be very similar to theirs. So it's going to come down to who's just willing to take the bigger loss and who's willing to eat it in terms of making the hardware. And I think Microsoft willing to do it, not just because of market share, necessarily, but because they can afford to do it, whereas Sony can't necessarily afford to do it.
Yeah. What I was meant originally is for me to jump ship to a whole nother ecosystem at a $700 price point. That's not even negotiable.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Well, there were some other things that came out. There was some talk about PlayStation will be overhauling their user interface, which, you know, I've heard a lot of really great things about it. I never used it consistently enough to really be able to say something. Warlock, are you a PlayStation person at all?
Yeah, I've got, I basically have all the consoles at the moment, so PS4 only turns on for, like, some of the exclusives, and everyone always gives a bunch of praise to the UI, but I find it really kind of just bare bones, which maybe people love, but I just find it nothing special to, like, write home about or anything, so it'll be interesting to see what they do with the PS5, because I think the quote was, every pixel is changed, like, they've completely overhauled the UI, so we'll see.
Well, I've heard comparison between like the 360 blades to the current PlayStation user interface at times, which, I mean, I can't say whether that's true or not because I haven't used it well enough, but I don't know. And then the other big thing is just all the games that they showed at the conference, but it was really just a show, a stream. They are exclusives in some sense, whether it's a timed exclusive or a exclusive to PlayStation outright. But there were a lot of really cool games shown. A lot of PlayStation first party stuff like Ratchet and Clank, Horizon Zero Dawn, not Zero Dawn, but Horizon, whatever the second one is.
Forbidden West.
Yeah, it's like a fictional America or something.
Yeah, right? And then there was Demon Souls remake, which I'm kind of sad about, but there were some really cool
games.
Because
you want to play it and you don't want to pay $700.
That's it.
See,
I never played Demon Souls, but I got into Dark Souls.
Right. None of the exclusives that they or any of the none of the games they showed really blew up my screen. Gran Turismo looks awesome, but I'm also expecting Forza 8 on the Series X to look as good, if not better.
I just felt Forza still looked better.
Yeah, even like, I feel like Forza 8 is probably going to blow Gran Turismo away, but that's just me.
The Ratchet and Clank game looked like it was a lot of fun. And
the ones that looked cool to me were more the third-party stuff, like Resident Evil 8. Oh, I was like, whoa, okay, that looks cool. And there was one other one that was a third-party that looked
really good. Deathloop. Because that is on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that looks really, really great.
I mean, there was a lot of really cool game reveals for that. I mean, there are games that you knew that were going to be there. You know, it was interesting that Grand Theft Auto 5 got a tag at the very beginning of it. That game is a game that just won't quit, apparently. It will be on different generations. My God.
I don't know. I think that felt like a huge like bait and switch, like to start a PS5 event with the Rockstar logo and then to show me GTA 5 was like the biggest letdown in the world.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. I actually came into the stream about 10 minutes too late because I was watching a fake PlayStation account on Twitch for a moment. So, oops.
Nice. Did they reveal anything good?
No, it was just the load screen for like 10 minutes. I thought the conference was 10 minutes late, so, and then I realized it was on the wrong one. Me and like 27,000 other people, so, you know, not a big deal, right? I mean, in the end, we're still in this mode of wait and see on the things that really count, price and release date, and where you can pre-order. So, it'll be interesting if Microsoft is the first person to budge on that. I think they will. Warlock, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you. It also, they can seem like the more confident ones, right? If they can come out and say, here's our price, even if they know they're going to like take a loss, make it lower, and then so they don't seem to be like they're reacting to anything Sony does. Put the ball in their court, so to speak. But it'll be interesting. If no price comes out of Microsoft's thing, then it would be, yeah, I don't know when we get a reveal or like how long they play chicken on who's going to like undercut the other one by $50 or whatever it's going to be.
Well, I mean, I think it's interesting. Wasn't like the rumor of the 2013 conference when Microsoft was like, and $499 for this console with the Kinect camera. And then everybody, like Sony was like, oh, we were going to do $499, but we're going to switch that to $399 now.
Yeah. I remember hearing that.
You know, like there was like a alternate version in essence of their presentation that they just swapped out at the last second because they were like, well,
they had to. They got destroyed in the 360 versus PS3 gen, and I think they saw that was basically them setting up. If it was a jiu-jitsu match, they just set up a rear naked choke.
Well, like I thought I read that PlayStation made a pretty good comeback in that era anyways. So like it wasn't like they were completely dead in the water going into it. But it's like a 2-to-1 ratio now, whereas back then I thought it was pretty close towards the end of the life cycle.
Well, I just remember if you looked at like sales and players, everybody I knew played 360. Everybody at the time on Tag was on a 360. A few people had PlayStation 3s, but that wasn't their main gaming rig. When that E3 happened and, I'm sorry, Microsoft dropped the ball with the Xbox One reveal, I mean, half a Tag, right then and there in the forum said, I'm buying a PlayStation 4 because of the game sharing, because like all that stuff Microsoft like did poorly at that E3 just turned a lot of people off. And they saw the PS4 as like, oh, okay, this is just a gaming machine. That's what I want. And I really think I think Microsoft learned their lesson. You know, Phil Spencer came in. It's all about gaming again. So this might be the flip of that. We'll see. But there was some other... What else did Sony... Did they show anything else there?
There's one thing that's interesting. Not that it's a game that blew me away, but this Astro's Playroom thing. Like, it's actually coming with a platformer game, like, already on the console.
Oh, is that the one that was a VR game, but they've retooled it... Is that the one I'm thinking of?
I don't know. It's like
they did have a VR game, but I don't think it's being retooled. I think it's just like
a little space dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, that was a VR game on the PS4.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. Cool. So it's built into the console, like the old Master System that had Alex Kidd or Hang On. Without a cartridge in it, you could turn it on and play it.
Yeah. It's,
oh wait, I just revealed that I'm ancient.
At least it's like that old school kind of thing where like, yeah, you buy the console, it comes with one game. It's probably not one you want, but it's something.
It's like Geometry Wars, or no, Hexic. Hexic, that's what it was.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Hexic HD came with the 360.
Yeah.
Well, Hop, I mean, it's been probably a while since you bought a new console that was packaged with a game, but apparently that's how they're doing that now. Like, if you buy a Gears of War 5... Not that you would do this because you don't care for Gears of War 5. Xbox, it comes with the game already baked into the console.
Yeah, I've seen that. Like the new the Cyberpunk edition. You no longer get a digital code to download that you would give away. It's literally built into the... It's tied to the serial number or something.
And then once you log in, it links to your profile at that point. So it's kind of crazy.
That's crazy. I mean, I saw something, this wasn't at Sony's presentation, but and again, I'm not knocking on Sony or PlayStation or Sony fanboys, guys, just calm down. They don't do much for me, but I saw something that did, and you guys can make fun of me all you want, but they showed a new Star Wars game, and I had a giant, giant boner when I saw this, because I've been waiting for a game like this since the heyday of X-Wing TIE Fighter on PC, and that's that new Star Wars Squadrons, and it looks like the spiritual, like, sequel to that era of the X-Wing TIE Fighter. We did get X-Wing Alliance, which was the next game in that series, but most people just remember X-Wing TIE Fighter. Anyway, multiplayer, it looks like it takes place right after Episode 6, so it's still at the end of the era there, and it's Empire versus the Rebels, and it's starship battles only, and it has cockpit view, and the graphics look great, and it looks like more complex than the dogfighting stuff that's in Battlefront 2. I don't know. Did you guys check that trailer out? What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Like, it, I don't know, it's fun to see another Star Wars property come out that's not Battlefront or whatever. Like, I want to see some new stuff like this.
Yeah, it was great to get Jedi Fallen Order. That was awesome.
Yeah.
And it's cool to get something else that's... And I was definitely excited that this was like, oh, it was like, oh, cool, a space combat game. Not space arcade, but actual space... Like, almost, I can't say sim, because we don't really know, but it's more of a complex combat game. Like, almost gave me, almost like Crimson Skies vibes, but Star Wars. I was like, yes, this is what I need in my life.
Yeah, and I notice it's only $40. So
probably because there's no... Does it have a campaign, or is it multiplayer only? Did they say if there's a campaign?
I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. Like, is it... I'm hoping $40 price tag from like an EA game doesn't mean it's super bare bones and it's just like 5-on-5 dogfighting. But I guess we'll see. We're supposed to see gameplay, I think, in a couple weeks or whatever.
Cross-platform. Has cross-platform support with multiplayer supported between Xbox, PS4, and PC. That's awesome. It has a single-player campaign set after the Battle of Endor, and then multiplayer. Still, I wonder if it's $40 because then they're going to sell a bunch of expansion packs. Now, it says here they're not doing loot boxes. They learned that from Battlefront 2. So, hopefully, that'll be good. Yeah. What do you got for us, Warlock? What do you got? Any news or any thoughts on anything going on in the gaming realm?
Yeah, just kind of, I don't know, the big news for me, because I do switch between, like, PS4 and Xbox. Xbox is primary, but I always, all the exclusives, the single-player stuff on PlayStation, I'm always a sucker for.
That's what's always been tempting, but then I'm like, well, I'd probably never play it that much, so I can't justify owning it.
But, so yeah, the PS5 stuff was exciting. Also excited for Star Wars Squadrons, and then I also saw something about Bungie posting job listings for their new IP, some kind of new game they got in the works that's going to be, quote, comedic and whimsical.
Something like that movie Your Highness, is it like a slapstick fantasy RPG, or...
Well, I have no idea. That's still going to be the case.
Right.
It's, I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do next. Like, I keep wanting to like Destiny for like how many years it's been around. And every time I play it, I'm like, this game isn't for me.
I got into it a little bit. So when Destiny 2 first came out, I didn't play it. And then I got into it a little bit later. And then I walked away from it. And then like last year, I got into it again. It was really fun for a while, and then they had this one season pass thing, and it just wasn't fun. So I let that one. I basically wasted a bunch of money on that expansion or that season pass. I bought the whole 4-season thing, and that one season I was like, I'm not even gonna play. I tried to play the newest one, and I was like, yeah, maybe I'm just done with this game right now. It looks beautiful. Like, I liked the intro of this new story, but I can't get myself to play it. So I can relate. What about, before we get into anything else, Warlock, I wanted to kind of give a shout out to you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. And also maybe ask you some questions about, like, how did you find TAG, or what keeps you hanging your hat here at TAG, and what do you enjoy about being part of the TAG community?
Sure. So, at this point, I don't know. I think I've been a member of TAG for a year or two. I don't really remember.
Only that short? Were you in Age or any of those other things? Did I know you from Age?
Yeah. That must be it, because I was in Age for a long time, and I kind of stuck with that. And the same kind of thing happened what you were describing earlier, where like with PS4, like everyone kind of migrated to that, and I didn't have one for a long time. I bought one much later and stuff like that. So like the Xbox portion of Age was like pretty much dried up and gone.
Because I was a member of Age 2, and it just kind of died.
Yeah. So I think at some point, I think somebody who is still like a member of both, I think it might have been Heartbreak Ridge or somebody like posted something, linked to Tag, and I was like, oh, hey, look, there's actually players for Xbox here. Let me go check it out. So I did. I joined in. Everyone was super welcoming and stuff like that, so that was cool. So joining in on some of the game nights or just like hooking up for Call of Duty and some other stuff. I don't know. Everyone's just been super nice, welcoming, and yeah, there's no reason not to stick around. The Discord's lively, usually a fun time.
Especially when we start talking about Paint.
Right, exactly. Like yeah. Today, I was on the edge of my seat learning all about Paint, Paint trim, all that stuff.
Yes, you know, we, you know, they say watching paint dry is a elite activity to partake in.
And the second best thing to watching paint dry is talking about it on Discord.
Oh, see, you already fit right in. You get it, right?
You know,
the one thing you could definitely do, though, Warlock, is if you really needed some paint or maybe some painter's tape, is you could go to Amazon.com and find the painter tape, post it. Of that link on Amazon in the top browser bar, just copy and paste that in our Discord channel and it'll shoot out an affiliate link, which will then you can click and buy the painter's tape, which will
it's
give
like
us a kickback.
Two for one. You're getting painter's tape and you're donating money to Tag the Key.
There you go.
Tag going.
Consider it done.
And on top of that, while you're painting, you can listen to the Tagcast.
That's right.
So there we go. You can listen to yourself talk. Well, anyways, please use that affiliate link as many times as you can, as often as you can, because it keeps the lights on in Tag, and we like to have the lights on most of the time until Ubo takes his clothes off, and then things get a little awkward. But please, Tag, affiliate link, Amazon.com, gives us money. Life's good.
Hold on. I have to jump in. You skipped a section, and I got to just talk about this real quick.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I just like
no, it's all good. It was like, you were in the flow, dude, and
yeah,
I loved it.
It was perfect.
It was, and I'm just gonna drop this just because I'm excited. They released a new patch update to Borderlands 3. We've got the new Borderlands 3. Takedown at the Guardian Breach. They've already done two patches because honestly I played it and it was very hard, and they're releasing a patch today to adjust the difficulty a little bit because the mobs were a little crazy. But this also fixes a ton of issues that were going on. Warlock and I had tried to play like a month, 6 weeks ago, and it was crashing a lot. So they've added a lot of crash fixes. They've tweaked Mayhem Mode a little bit. It's still not at the point where our action skills are going to scale, but they have fixed a lot of stuff. And all the Mayhem guns are now labeled when you find them. So I actually went in my inventory and realized I got to junk a bunch of stuff because I only have about 5 Mayhem 10 guns, and the rest are like Mayhem 4 or Mayhem 6 or whatever we were playing one night. So but yeah, it's pretty cool, and there's a whole new area, and they'll be leading up to a DLC coming out at the end of the month. So I just wanted to bring that up for our small but dedicated Borderlands players on Tag.
All right. Well, I can't wait to get back into that. I want to try that new raid, but I still haven't even really dived into the Mayhem mode stuff because I heard so many issues with it and out of balance stuff. But
it's better now. It's a lot better.
Good. Yeah. Well, I plan on getting into there because I've kind of hit one of those lulls and ruts where I'm just kind of jumping from game to game over, you know, a lot of different things. But before we get into our playlist where I kind of talk about my ADHD with gaming for a moment, I just want to remind everybody, you know, please feel free to send me a question through Discord as a DM that I can ask the hosts of the show as a surprise question that they have to answer on the spot. It could be any random weird thing that you would like to know. You know, we try to stay away from knowing what Hop's underwear color is at the moment. But, you know, just...
Dude, who wears underwear when they do these things?
Oh, I mean, we are pantsless, that's right. For sure. Stud Knuckle would stop paying the bills if... we started wearing pants on this show. Anyways, yeah, feel free to send me those questions. I'd love to have a bank of them. If you want to send me 3 or 4 questions, I will ask 3 or 4 questions over the course of the next few episodes. Anyways, let's move on to our playlist. Warlock, you've been playing some games. What have you been playing?
Yeah, so I don't know, similar to what you were just describing, I've been bouncing around kind of just patiently awaiting The Last of Us 2 to come out in a few days as of the recording. But yeah, what I've been playing, I've been playing a retro-style first-person shooter called Project Warlock. It just released on Xbox this week, and I think PlayStation the week before. It's been on PC a couple of years, but it's very much inspired by old Doom, Duke Nukem 3D, and if anyone remembers, Hexen. Yeah.
It looks so awesome. I can't wait to play it. I'm waiting before I buy it, because I know if I buy it and I start it, I probably won't put it down.
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's tons of secrets. The weapons are fun. You have, like, weapons and magic. It's super fast-paced. Good enemy variety
are
and
you,
stuff.
Are you hitting on me? Because right now it sounds like you're hitting on me.
No. But if it's working, I'll take it. Like, I wasn't trying, but that's usually the best time, right? So yeah, that's been fun. Anyone who likes retro FPS games, check it out. Over the last couple days, I've been playing a PC game called Griftlands, which is pretty amazing. I'm a huge video game player, but also I'm a huge like tabletop game guy too. So
are we
like,
on the second date now?
I think so. This is moving really fast for me, though.
It's okay to say no, Warlock. Your body, your choice, man. Come on.
Yeah. Oh, man. Woo, I'm nervous now. But Griftlands is it's kind of like a story RPG that has a really awesome art style. Like, it reminds me of Outer Rim Star Wars. So, like, bounty hunters and, like, dingy bars and weird aliens
We're
and stuff like that.
We're definitely on the third date now. That's...
Yes. Let me keep going. And what's cool is it's a deck-building game. So it's the mechanics to resolve all the stuff are done via cards. And it has two different systems and two different decks based on whether you want to fight people, like in combat, or if you want to negotiate with them. So two different sets of rules, two different decks. And there's a lot of like story repercussions and stuff like that. It seems like if you spare someone's life or if you negotiate with them, they come back later to either help you, hinder you, stuff like that. There's different characters with different stories and things like that. And I've just been, I don't know, I got it yesterday and I already have like 7 hours in it.
Oh,
so,
man, that's crazy.
I'm completely hooked on that. But other than that, still playing some Call of Duty Modern Warfare here and there. And working through trying to complete all the achievements in Streets of Rage 4. So
yeah, I was going to see if you want to help me finish my hard mode playthrough. Because it's
yeah,
so much
sure.
easier with two people. It's so much easier with two people.
We should try. I've yet to do... You're talking about like the hard arcade run?
No, just even the story. Yeah, no, I haven't
just the story.
Tried.
Okay.
Hard arcade would be rough.
Because there's an achievement for hard arcade that me and my girlfriend have been trying to do. And
let's do that.
We can get like right past the halfway point, and then usually it all falls apart.
The game gets tougher after that, too. And there's like one stage in the middle of that game that's really long, and then a bunch of really short stages. If you can get through that really long stage, the rest of it's not too bad.
I still need to beat it.
Whoa. Well, we'll work on that too, fam. Let's see, what have I been hitting? Call of Duty Modern Warfare, new season finally started. I'm not going to lie, I'm still addicted to the game. I'm already hit level 27 on the Battle Pass, and I'm already rank 100, so that'll tell you I already put a lot of hours into it this week. Streets of Rage 4, I've been slowly chipping away at the hard mode. A buddy of mine who is on another podcast that I sometimes guest appear on, there's probably going to be a new episode of that coming up any day now. We started playing Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown again and realized that really is our favorite fighting game, so we've just recorded an episode talking about that. I'll post it in the Tag Discord when the episode goes up. It's pretty interesting stuff. But it reminded me how much I love that game because it's more real martial arts, and the game balance is just so tight. And well made, and even though it's a 360 game, the 4K upscanning on Xbox One, it looks really good. I mean, it to me looks better than Tekken 7, and that's probably because Tekken 7 still runs at 720p and looks like crap on the Xbox One X. It's kind of sad. I finished Ion Fury on a normal playthrough. That's that retro FPS that was created by some of the original members that created Duke Nukem. And that game was awesome. I definitely want to play through it again on hard. I highly recommend it if you like a straightforward FPS with kind of puzzle-like level layouts, tough enemies, awesome boss encounters, and hilarious humor. I took a lot of screenshots to show people the goofy shit in that game, but I wish I would have recorded more of the audio, because there's some audio in that game that's just ridiculous. And the villain of the game is actually voiced by the voice actor that did Duke Nukem's voice in the Duke Nukem games, and it's a totally different voice, and it's kind of neat to hear him play that other role. And then Fenn was kind enough to write this down so I wouldn't forget to mention it. My kids saved up their own money and got a Nintendo Switch thanks to a buddy of mine that helped me find it, and I picked up Mario Kart for them, and holy cow, I'm having a blast playing Mario Kart with my kids. That's a fun game. What have you been playing, Fenn?
I had to put that down there because I feel like you would have omitted that, and Stud Knuckle needs to hear you admit that you're enjoying the Switch.
I never said I wouldn't enjoy a Switch. I just had no reason to buy one. But when my kids saved up their own money to buy one, now I have access to a Switch.
But still, Stud Knuckle needs to hear this, and he's gonna go like full tilt, like pitch a tent all over the podcast channel with this now. So
okay, yay Stud Knuckle.
All right, playing, sorry, I was taking a drink of beer. I have like you guys, Call of Duty. However, I'm starting to kind of fade on that game. Like, I'm enjoying it, but I'm also kind of like, I need to switch it up with some other things for a while. Because of that, I have really jumped into Sea of Thieves again.
Oh, no, you've been drinking and sailing.
Yeah, it's been fun, because, like,
I need to stop calling me at 4 in the morning drunk as hell and talking like a pirate. That's not cool, dude.
Like, I've already been accused of, pinging people in the Discord when they're going to sleep, I guess. I don't do that. Come on, man. Now I'm gonna call you at like 3 a.m. and just be like, "Yo," but that's not gonna work, because you wake up at like God knows when, early in the morning.
You're
like,
3 a.m. I'm probably already up. No. Your 3 a.m. is midnight my time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wouldn't be cool. I'll be asleep.
There we go. I got it. But now I've been playing Sea of Thieves. I sailed around with Tony, still Chronic, from the Discord for a little bit. It was fun. He was showing me the ropes on some of the new features that has been updated in the game. And then last night I was jamming with Scotty. And Scotty's a lot of fun to sail around with, because he gets obsessed with...
He's fun to play any game with.
Yeah, he gets obsessed with some red speckled hens, and all he wants to do is capture these hens and take them back and sell them. I mean, we sailed around for probably 2 hours looking for these two damn chickens, and we got them, and then some galleon came out of nowhere and sank us, and guess what we did? Sail right back to find our chickens, but they weren't there. So, yeah. It's fun. I've enjoyed it. It's fun when you play with other people, but it's also kind of peaceful. Like, if you play by yourself, you can just, like, sit on the boat and fish and chill and listen to the water. It's kind of nice. Then I've been playing a little bit of the Dungeons of the Endless. It's kind of like a tower defense / turn-based strategy / procedural dungeon crawler. Roguelite thing. I don't know. It's fun. It's just got a lot of mechanics in it that I haven't figured out yet. And then today they released the demo for Grounded, the new game from Obsidian, which is a recently purchased Microsoft studio.
Yeah, that's that one that, like, with the original trailer looked like something like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yes. Or something.
Yep. Okay. This is a anti-hop game.
Oh, fuck. Is there a lot of crafting in it?
It's like Minecraft, but you're a tiny person inside of a giant Honey, I Shrunk Your Kids world where you can find rocks and kill bugs and then eventually make axes and then eventually cut down leaves of grass to build houses. And there's survival mechanics where you got to find water and food and bandages and things like that. So yeah, this is not your game, Hop. I'm sorry.
No, that's cool. I'm glad you told me that.
It sounds actually, it sounds wasn't cool,
all that interested, but hearing that, I'm even less interested.
What were you saying, Warlock?
I was just saying it sounds cool. I might check it out when it, because it's not released yet, right? It's just like the, you said it, the demo?
Yeah, it's a demo. You get 30 minutes per playthrough, so every time your 30-minute timer ends, you have to start a new game.
Gotcha.
I think that's just mainly so you don't get too far into the crafting. I got to a point where I was able to make an axe, a stone hammer, a stone axe, a stone hammer, and a stone spear, and I was able to build a small little fort with grass, and then nighttime came and I got killed by a wolf spider, and those things are massive. Oh my goodness. It's kind of interesting, they as soon as you start the game, they give you an arachnophobia warning, and you can, there's a setting where you can turn the spiders off and they turn them into something else. I've heard things about cats and other random things, but yeah, I'll have to try with the arachnophobia setting off. But yeah, it's a full-on setting that talks about like people are afraid of spiders, and these spiders are real looking and massive, and it may trigger some very bad feelings. So I'm excited for it. I can't wait to try the full release of it. There's obviously a lot of really early build things that they got going on. Like the gameplay itself seems stable, but like there's no voice acting, there's nothing, but you just see subtitles come across your screen and you don't hear anybody talking. So but it's kind of cool. So Hop, what goes on Thursday nights in Tag?
Thursday night is game night. And for the most part, Tag is an Xbox focused community. Not that we shun anything else, we just seem to have more active members on Xbox. That's mostly what we're on. We do try to cross platform whenever it's possible. More and more games are doing that, so hopefully in the future game night will be all inclusive. But this month coming up, June 18th, we're doing Halo Master Chief Collection on Xbox. June 25th, Human Fall Flat. I believe that was a request from Mr. Ghost Touched. And then I'll go ahead and I'll list July 2nd is back to Halo 5. July 9th, Titanfall 2, bringing back a classic. I love that game. July 16th, back to Halo MCC. July 23rd, Red Dead 2 Online. And July 30th, back to Halo 5. I'll probably repeat the July games when we get into the July podcast, but that way people have a forecast of, if you hear something cool, put it on your calendar, jump in the Discord. If you have any suggestions, jump in the Xbox Game Night channel and drop a line to Fireman and hey, like, say like, hey, I think this game would be really fun to play as a group. I would love to see some Bomberman, the 360 edition, not the horrible Xbox One edition again, but we'll see. Finn, what goes on? There's people that read or something. Is that thing with paper? There's letters on it?
Yeah, there's paper. Apparently, though, a lot of people use the audiobooks now.
That's cheating.
It's a real thing, I guess. You know, you just listen
that's
to
like
other
wall hacks on Counter-Strike.
Yeah, you just. But apparently, like some of the like narration is like top level.
No, I
like,
know. I'm
really
teasing.
Good stuff. So
some of the Star Wars ones that they've done audio are pretty crazy. It's like listening to a movie. They add lightsaber sounds and all kinds of shit.
Yeah. So yeah, they are. I think through this month they are. It was chosen late in May, so they're just gonna finish this book through the month of June, which is chosen by Captain Ink, which is my This Is How You Lose the Time War by Amal El Motar and Max Gladstone. I'm sure I just butchered that first name, but yeah, so How to Lose the Time War. So feel free to add the book club role and join in the conversation there if you like to read. And then eventually they select next month they'll choose a new person that has the book club role, and you get to choose the book. Usually they stick to science fiction and high fantasy type stuff, but hey, if you want to read Nicholas Sparks, feel free to add the book club role and make everybody else read it. So This week, for our deep dive, I had an idea, and I think it's kind of a cool little idea, and I think it's something that will be interesting to get some conversation outside of the podcast, but also get people in the Discord maybe talking about it too. But I was thinking back to, I was listening to another podcast and listening to the host talk about Bungie, and they were talking about Bungie when they left Microsoft and then went to Activision Blizzard, and then they did a bunch of stuff there, and then they left Activision Blizzard, and now they're self-publishing and doing all this stuff on their own. And one of the things that they talked about when they left Microsoft was, you know, they probably would have stayed with Microsoft if Microsoft didn't envision them being a Halo-only studio. And if, since they probably were already working on the idea of Destiny anyways in some roundabout way.
Oh, dude, if you play, was it ODST? There were posters that said, that had the little Destiny symbol and said Destiny and coming soon. Like, they were working on that game for a while. Like, so, at least design-wise.
Yeah, so, you know, there's this whole thing. So, my, you know, deep dive this week that I wanted you guys to do is, like, and we can kind of round-robin this, like, each of us can kind of come up with a different scenario, but it's a what-if scenario. Like, what if this happened, or what if this didn't happen? And the first one I'm going to pose to you is, what if Destiny, or Bungie, never left Microsoft, and Microsoft let them do what they wanted to do? Like, create Destiny, and make that an exclusive for Microsoft. So, like, how do you think that would impact the gaming environment that we see today?
Well, I think first it would have alleviated some of the complaints from the last, what, generation or two, that Microsoft doesn't have any strong exclusives. Yeah, like, could you imagine if Destiny was an Xbox exclusive? Like, yeah, if they released it?
Hard to say. I think now, in hindsight, we could say that it would have been huge. But it would have depended maybe on the marketing and stuff. I mean, it could have been. That could have been an Xbox One, like, 360 slash, because they did that cross generational thing. It could have been a 360 Xbox One, like, killer app, for lack of a better term.
But do you think the Xbox One launch could have killed Destiny if it was an exclusive only?
That's a good point.
Maybe that launch was pretty sorry, man.
It depends. Could we control this fictional Destiny with the Kinect?
I mean, you know, if it was done magically in the show, then more than likely Kinect would have had a huge role in Destiny. But thank goodness he is long gone. But no, I mean, I think that's an interesting scenario. Like, would Bungie and Destiny have survived the launch of the Xbox One? Or would it have been the thing that would have maybe saved the Xbox One from the terrible launch that it had? Like, enough people would have been like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to keep playing Destiny, so I'm going to definitely buy an Xbox One, even though it comes with a shitty camera that listens to me talk and do things in my house.
Yeah, and they could have also, especially if they were given resources to do multiple things, maybe the Halo games. I like Halo 4 and 5, or all the stuff that was post-Bungie, but maybe the Halo games would have even been better. They could have kept trucking.
Yeah, who knows? It could have either been. I was just thinking about that, Warlock. It would have either been like Bungie Burnout, and they would have just, because I mean, they were effectively done with the Halo story the way they ended Halo 3. I think they wrapped it up nicely. I don't know if they wanted to go further with that. I felt like maybe Bungie was done. I feel like they were done. Microsoft was like, wait, but Halo is like a pillar, one of our only pillars, right? Because they didn't have a Halo. Was the, I mean, that's the game that made people buy the original Xbox. For most people, was Halo. If you ask most people, why did you buy the original Xbox? Man, I went to a game store and I saw Halo on this TV, or I played Halo at my buddy's house on multiplayer, and that was it. So I can see why Microsoft wanted to keep Halo going, and it's sort of like bands, they get burned out and they want to change their whole style, and instead of changing their style, they want to make a new IP. Like, these developers are like, we want to do something else. Even though Destiny is very much plays a lot like Halo.
Yeah, for sure.
The multiplayer feels like Halo a lot. So it's just funny. Yeah, I feel like it could have gone either way. I think it could have been a killer app for Microsoft, because it ended up being huge on PlayStation 4 because you had an exodus of Xbox players, and then they come over to PlayStation and they've got a game that plays almost just like Halo. So it was like, oh yeah, so that's a pretty interesting point. Yeah, that's a good one, Finn.
All right. Warlock, do you have a what if for us?
What I was thinking was, what if Microsoft bought Valve, or there was some, at least some kind of partnership between the two to kind of, you know, Microsoft every few years tries to make this big push into saying like, hey, we're super serious about PC gaming. What if they acquired Valve and Steam,
like bought Steam,
and had that, and could, you could also take it with, having some kind of Steam integration with an Xbox. Would we want Xbox to be more like a Windows PC in the living room kind of thing? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think that I think that's a very interesting proposition, because like Valve and Microsoft are not friends, from what I understand. No. Right,
because I think Gabe used to work there, right? And he left to start Valve. Yeah.
Well, I do. What I would think is, like, as much as I'd be great, let me start with a positive, I guess. I think that it would be kind of interesting to see how Game Pass would work with Steam in that sense. Like, would that allow Microsoft to have more leeway with their Game Pass product? Their Netflix for games, if you will. So would that be something that they could expand even further, because they would have access to the Steam library that is obviously very massive compared to what Xbox PC's library is currently at. That'd be interesting. It'd also be kind of interesting to see like how like Play Anywhere or some of those features that Microsoft really has been championing lately, how those would work with that. But I think that would be kind of a cool thing. I don't know. I will say I like the consoles, even though they're getting closer and closer to being like a PC. I still like how they're not a PC yet. Like, all intents and purposes. Ugh. Bottom line, they're pretty much microcomputers now, right? When you say,
right, yeah, they're, for sure, they're PCs with a custom user interface,
yes,
that doesn't have the overhead that Windows 10 has. I mean, the Xbox One kernel is based on Windows 10, but it's not having to address all the other things that Windows 10, yes, has to address, because it's more specific, so they
and
can
optimized,
trim,
yeah,
they can trim the fat off of that and make it lean and mean. Yeah. Yeah, that would, I mean, I don't know where that would have gone. We may, if that would have happened a ways back, we may not have Game Pass. We may have Steam on Xbox. We may have, like, that scenario is crazy, Warlock. I mean, we're talking, like, who knows what the fuck could have happened there. We might have gotten Half-Life 3, though.
Yeah, that was another portion, like, talking about exclusives, like, when I was thinking of this, like, what if Microsoft revealed, like, here's Half-Life 3 and Left 4 Dead 3.
Boom.
Have fun.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, I loved playing Half-Life 2, the orange box, on the 360. Like, I loved replaying through that and playing Episode 1 and 2, as well as Left 4 Dead and Portal. So, I mean, I think it would be great. Like, I think it would be kind of a cool partnership, but, I mean, let's face it, Valve is never going to do anything else with Half-Life outside of maybe another VR, I don't want to say reboot or offshoot, there it is, like they did with Half-Life Alyx, which I've heard is fan-freaking-tastic, and if I had access to a computer in VR, I would definitely want to try it. But, man, that's such a tough question. I mean, those are two massive gaming industry titans, and I honestly couldn't see how they could. That would be a lot of integration that they have to work through to figure out how to make those two things work. I mean, Steam and Valve is, like, when you think of video game pillars in the modern age, I think Microsoft, Sony, Valve and Steam, Nintendo, and Epic now. Like, am I missing something? Like,
no, that's probably accurate.
Everybody's got their ecosystem. They all want you in their ecosystem, spending your money in their ecosystem to keep that money rolling around. I mean, Apple's got theirs, Google has theirs, Microsoft has theirs, Sony has theirs,
Hop, what is your what if scenario?
I'm going to take you back to the 16-bit era, and I'm going to take you back to a time when CD-ROM was a new technology, and at a time when in Japan the PC Engine Super CD, what we know as the TurboGrafx CD and or Turbo Duo, was crushing it in Japan. Sega released their Mega CD, what was called the Sega CD add-on for their system in Japan. That didn't do so well because it was very expensive, and it was expensive because they added a second CPU that was going to do all these things that most of the developers didn't even use, but that's another story. Anyway, back then, Nintendo had, the Super Nintendo had been out a year or two in Japan, and they had, for the previous system, the Famicom, or the Japanese Nintendo, had a disk drive add-on and some other stuff, so they were looking at CD because it was catching on. They were approached by Sony. Sony developed a CD add-on for the Super Nintendo. There are prototypes out there. This add-on was called the PlayStation. This thing would have been huge. This thing, I think, would have, in my opinion, had this add-on been released and partnered with Sony, it would have done really well. I also feel like what would have happened the next generation would have been even bigger. I feel like, as much as I enjoyed my N64, it was really hindered by the cartridges and some other tech issues. So imagine if you took the N64 and the PlayStation and smashed them together, what we would have had. We would have had a powerhouse. I think had that happened, we may not have Sony now, but had that happened, Nintendo would probably be the number one brand right now.
I would agree with that.
Because between Nintendo's software and Sony's hardware, I mean, it's tough to say. Sony did hustle like crazy to get lots of good games, first-party stuff. They brought in Namco and all that stuff. But I feel like had Nintendo and Sony partnered on the hardware and kept it competitive with the other brands, I think that they would have really done some crazy stuff. And I mean, just there was, you know, there were all these rumors about Final Fantasy, whatnot, and that ended up coming true, but on PlayStation. But a lot of that stuff was originally announced for this Super Nintendo CD add-on, which in Japan was called the PlayStation before it became a separate thing. And I guess what had happened in our timeline is that when Nintendo backed out of the deal, the guy that developed this CD-ROM add-on, Ken Kutaragi, was like, well, why don't we just take, I did all this research, why don't we just make a game? He kind of had to convince Sony to do it, and then they agreed because of all the money that was spent on it. And then they challenged the entire industry and came out really, I mean, on that generation, I would have to say the PlayStation 1. I mean, the Nintendo 64 was good, but the cartridges were expensive. Sega's Saturn was a mess of a design. Don't get me wrong, I loved my Sega Saturn, but it was very difficult to program for. A lot of the developers, when they saw how easy the PlayStation was, they jumped over there. So I really feel like if the two had connected, they would have probably crushed Sega pretty hard. And they would have had, we may not have actually had a Dreamcast. We may not have gotten a Dreamcast. They might have crushed, either that or maybe the Dreamcast would have been even better if they crushed them that hard. I don't know. It's crazy talking about this stuff, and I can go on all night. Well, I mean, I don't know. What do you guys feel about that? I mean, I was like, wow, man, we could have, I mean, Sony could have been partnered with Nintendo instead of rivals with Nintendo.
Yeah, to me, it's interesting to think, like, because I agree with you, I think it would have been huge, and Nintendo would have stayed, like, a powerhouse in, like, the home console industry stuff. I wonder if at some point, you wonder how, like, the decisions about the Wii and the Wii U were made. Like, were those, because it seems like Nintendo got comfortable not being in the spotlight, and they wanted to do, for lack of a better term, like, weird stuff. Like, I wonder if they would have still tried to do that, or if they would have just gone through and we would have just watched the Nintendo PlayStation 5, reveal.
Right.
And just been, like, a core kind of console that has Mario and God of War on it.
Yeah, if you look at that generation, so the generation where we got the PlayStation 2 and the GameCube and the Xbox, the GameCube was a powerful machine. It wasn't quite as powerful as the Xbox, but it was more powerful than the PlayStation. The design was, I mean, kind of goofy. It was purple. It was kind of definitely more aimed at kids. But they still had a lot of third-party support because they were using those mini DVDs, which was, I think that was just Nintendo trying to control the format, right? That's always been their, what their beef was, I guess the reason they backed out of the CD-ROM deal is they couldn't charge royalties on the CDs, because they could charge royalties on the cartridges because they manufactured them as part of their licensing deal, right? And Nintendo made a lot of, Nintendo's always been a company that makes money first and foremost, so I think as a business they're really smart that way. But as far as like staying competitive, I don't think they care as long as they make money. And I think when they saw that the Microsoft and Sony were going for battle of the graphics, I think Nintendo wanted to innovate with the Wii. And I liked the Wii a lot when that came out. I thought that was cool.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Zelda was fun. It was really cool. The launch games were good. It kind of got stagnant, and they kind of dropped the ball. They didn't have enough stuff going into it, and a lot of the third parties. I think the third parties walked away because they couldn't scale down their games that well compared to the 360 and PS3, you know, power. And then the Wii U was kind of a misstep for Nintendo. I'm glad they came back. The Switch seemed like the market for them, right? Because portables are big. And in Japan right now, portables are huge. So I think Nintendo made the right choice for their home market. They're definitely, and here everybody seems to like it. Like my kids just got one. It's a cool machine. It's fun. They still make good games. I just got to wonder what would have happened. Can you imagine a machine where not only could you play Super Mario Kart online, but you could also play Tekken online on the same machine? Or, you know what I mean? Or you could Last of Us 2 and then switch over to Metroid Prime Trilogy. I don't know. That sounds pretty hot to me.
It does. It does. On the fourth date now.
Oh, yes!
Home run! Nailed it.
So, that's just a crazy... Yeah, I like those what-ifs. They can get crazy, though, and then, like...
I mean, like, it's so funny, like, you start going down the dominoes, like, well, then this, and then that, and then this. I mean, like, wasn't there the whole, like, didn't somebody make, like, a Nintendo PlayStation hybrid console?
No, like, there were prototypes of this machine that was co-developed by Nintendo and Sony, where the Super NES and the CD were all one unit. They were going to sell an add-on, but they were also going to sell one in Japan that was called the PlayStation, that took the Super NES cartridges but then also had the CD drive, and it was going to have extra memory and extra sound chips, because Sony developed the sound chip for the Super Nintendo. That's how this all started. That sound chip in the Super Nintendo is a Sony-made sound chip. And that's also the end of any kind of working together they did, because when Nintendo backed out, then they had to go to somebody else.
They had to go to Sound Blaster. Did they get a Sound Blaster?
Come on. Dude, okay, no. So they go and they developed the N64, and it didn't even have dedicated sound hardware. It used PCM sound channels that had to leech off CPU cycles. That's why the sound on the N64 can run the gamut from passable to, what is this garbage coming out of this thing?
I guess I'll leave us with one final what if, and that's, what if HD DVD took off instead of Blu-ray?
Wow. I don't know. That was Microsoft's baby, right?
Yeah.
No, they backed that? Nope, it wasn't Microsoft. HD DVD was developed by Toshiba.
Toshiba, that's right.
But it was also an open standard based on the DVD standard. I feel like Blu-ray was like Sony getting back for people not buying Beta, because Beta was developed by Sony back in the video video cassette days, and Beta was actually superior to VHS. Yep. But VHS was an open standard that any manufacturer could use, and so VHS caught on, because at the time those things were expensive, right? And since Beta was only made by Sony and licensed by Sony, the Beta was more expensive, and the VHS got cheaper and cheaper as more manufacturers made them and standardized. I feel like Sony was like, you know what, we're gonna win this time, and they went cutthroat after HD DVD. Like, they really attacked it. I mean, HD DVD, I think we would have had a second iteration faster than we did from Blu-ray to 4K, only because HD DVD could do 1080p video, but because the discs didn't have as much storage. And maybe with compression this would have came later, but most of the discs only did Dolby Digital Plus, which wasn't as good as uncompressed 5.1 PCM or the later Dolby True HD and DTS Master and now Dolby Atmos sound. So maybe, who knows? But that's another one of those where the HD DVDs, I think, held 25 or 30 gigabyte, and a Blu-ray is a 50 gigabyte dual layer. So
I think there was two things that really killed the HD DVD, and that was, I mean, it's not.
Oh, and also that since Sony included Blu-ray in the PS3, that was a huge,
that was the
Trojan horse for Blu-ray.
Yeah, that was the first like thing I think that really killed off the HD DVD, because having the the USB plug-in drive that you had to have for your 360 was pretty right. Asinine.
Had Microsoft had the 360 had the HD DVD drive built in, that may have turned that tide.
It
holy
might have.
Shit, dude. Holy shit. Why did you just tell me this?
but I think the other big thing that didn't, that really was the like nail, like all the nails in the coffin, not just like the final nail, but every single one, was the partnership Sony made with like Disney and a few other
stuff. Yeah, they did. That's why they went. So they went. The reason why they went cutthroat, the early software to encode Blu-ray movies was fucking garbage. If you have any of the very, very, very early Blu-ray releases, they look like shit.
I remember.
They were terrible. And HD DVD, being based on the DVD technology, the encoding formats were so similar that the I remember seeing the comparisons, you know, that a lot of the early releases when they did the HD DVD to Blu-ray, the HD DVDs looked way better. They moved better. They looked better. The color was more accurate. Eventually, they fixed that with Blu-ray. But the way Sony had to fight them was to start buying studio rights and throw money at studios, because the early Blu-ray encoding software was terrible.
No, yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you would think that, yeah, the free source, the like with VHS, killed Betamax, because it was a free open source product that you could use, and then HD DVD was very much similar, and then now we have the same thing with HDR versus Dolby Vision, or Windows Sonic versus Dolby Atmos. You know, we're seeing all these things, but I think that this what if conversation is kind of a fun conversation to have, and we may come back to this in future shows, but I would love to hear what your guys' listeners...
That's, yeah, community. Just drop us some what-ifs to talk about on the show.
Yeah, and or even, just get conversations stimulated in the Discord. It'd be awesome to see what everybody kind of responds to. And if you have any thoughts about Bungie staying with Microsoft, or maybe even BioWare staying with Microsoft, or other studios, or... You know, Hop's Nintendo, PlayStation marriage, and Warlock's Valve and Microsoft marriage. You know, please add your thoughts to that in the podcast channel. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say and go from there. But I will turn it over to Warlock. You got any last words for us?
Just that, this was a whole lot of fun. I appreciate the invite and, being part of TAG. So.
Awesome. Well, we're like Hotel California. Once you check in, you can never leave. So you can stab it with your steely knives, but you just can't kill the beast. Any other lyrics?
Keep going. Keep going.
I think you have a date with Warlock now.
I hijacked it. Here we go. So yeah, Hop. Warlock. Where can people find you? Any ways you want to plug yourself in terms of Xbox or any other podcasts that you may secretly moonlight on?
Nope. Nothing as special as that. But yeah, if you just you can hit me up on the tag Discord at Warlock, or shoot me a friend request, party invite, whatever, on Xbox. I'm usually on there, so happy to play anything with anybody.
Awesome. And Mr. Maximus,
just hit up the tag Discord, adultgamer.com. Look for Hoptimus. Right now I'm running around as Hoptimus Joestar because I love JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. If you find me there, you'll find my Xbox Live game tag, and you may find the other Discord. I frequent a couple others, one on classic gaming and one that's my buddy's podcast, and we have a special episode coming out about Virtua Fighter 5. When it's done, I'll post a link in our podcast channel so people can check it out. What about you, Finn? How do we find you on the World Wide Web?
I am Fenrir765 on the AdultGamer.com Discord as well as Xbox, so hit me up. If you want to go sail on the high seas with me, I will just shoot me a party invite or message or ping me on Discord and let me know, and we will get it going because I'm enjoying it. So until next time, I'll give you guys fair warning. Our next show kind of falls during that 4th of July window, so we'll kind of see what happens when we record.
Do we even have a guest?
I have.
If anybody wants to be a guest, hit us up on the Discord.
I have a guest.
Oh, okay.
I have a guest lined up for the next show. It's going to be a good one. I'm excited. I'm so excited for this guest. Oh, hey, boy.
You know what's in my top podcast on my Spotify right now is the Adult Gamer podcast. That's crazy.
What? All right, well, until then, yeah, if you want to join the show, let Hop or myself know that you want to join the show, and we will get you booked and locked in, and it'll be a good time, as Warlock said. But until then, everybody have a good night, happy gaming, and stay safe and well.
Peace.